and welcome to the Raw Bar. I'm Goddess Cecilia, pleasure educator and consultant, and I will be your host. I've invited my friends and colleagues to sit, snack, get real, and probably a little salty about sexuality and pleasure. We've also saved a seat for you. And because of the nature of this podcast, we want to make sure that you're aware that there will be conversations about sexuality, sexual acts, probably some spicy language, and a bunch of other things that are definitely not appropriate for younger ears. So give yourself some solo time if you can. Grab a drink like tea, wine, water, or boba. Don't forget your snackies. Ease in and get comfy. Here's to a pleasurable time together. This season of Raw Bar with Goddess Cecilia is brought to you by MysteryPleasureBox.com. Surprise yourself with a subscription to MysteryPleasureBox.com, a fun and affordable way to discover new sex toys and novelty products every month, billed and delivered discreetly. You get an arsenal of potions, lotions, sex toys, and bedroom accessories picked by industry experts. Every box you receive is packed with high-quality, full-size, brand-name products from brands you know and love. So sign up at MysteryPleasureBox.com and use code GODDESS for 10% off your first box. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Raw Bar with Goddess Cecilia. I basically started this because I missed seeing my friends. I missed seeing my friends, and I missed interacting with other like-minded sex educators. And this was my one way to like reconnect with folks. And also, like, you know, I'm sure that not everyone that I know, everyone knows. And so I'm like, everyone needs to know about all these amazing people. Like, everyone needs to know, you know. So this was my little way of doing this. And I'm so excited to kick off technically my season two with the one, the only, Luna Matadas.
Oh my God, I'm so glad I get to kick off your season two with you. That's such an honor. Yeah.
I was like, well, when I was looking at your calendar, I was like, it's really the best way to start. It really is. I was like, I have to do this. Yes. All right. So let me read your bio really quick.
Sure.
All right. So Luna Matadas is a sex and pleasure educator with over 15 years of experience teaching sex and empowerment workshops. She celebrates body confidence, self-adoration, and building shame-free pleasure in and out of the bedroom. She teaches a wide range of topics, including threesomes, BDSM, and sexual confidence. Luna hosts the Plug Podcast, an anal sex podcast by B-Vibe. She created Peg the Patriarchy, trademark, and Meditate, Medicate, Macerate, trademark, brands as part of her sex positive and feminist merchandise. And for those of you who are going to be listening to the recording of this later, I am wearing a Peg the Patriarchy shirt. We're going to get into that later. For sure. But like, I literally did laundry just so I could wear this because I've already recently worn this.
I know. I just got cat hair off of mine because I've been wearing it all week. And I was like, oh, I should look like, whoa. You
know? I know, right? No one will know. Right. So Luna, first of all, how are you, friend?
Yeah, you know, I'm okay. Like I fluctuate between like, I'm awesome. And then like, oh God, like the world is in despair. But I mean, in general, I'm so grateful for what, I mean, I'm not grateful that it's snowing and cold outside, but I'm grateful that like, you know, all of us are still trucking along. Like I'm still taking a lot of people's virtual classes that I would never have access to if I had to go somewhere. I'm teaching more of my stuff. There's just like way more community that I actually have been exposed to online than I would have had access to otherwise. So I'm pretty good. Yeah. How are you doing?
Oh, that's such a good way to look at it. And that's so true because I do feel like, I know, you know, obviously like it's such a different feeling to be in physical space with people,
But I do feel like I've been able to stay connected and like really like get to interact with different people in different ways. And that's been kind of cool, you know? Yeah. And I think, you know, like, I think is that we all learned a little bit about like boundaries, even for ourselves, and like a little bit of consent. I mean, I'd like to hope, but we'll see. Still kind of a work in progress for everybody.
Yep. Yeah.
You know?
That's so true.
Oh, and yes. And so one of the things that I like to do on the Raw Bar is like pretend that we're actually sitting at a bar together. So that's why we're sharing kind of something similar. I don't have exactly what you have, but could you please tell us what you're drinking?
Yes. So I am drinking CBD hot chocolate. And so I'm a big fan of all pot, but I like it in a form where it's also filled with chocolate. So yeah, I'm doing real well. What are you drinking?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I don't have CBD in my hot chocolate, but I do have coffee. So okay, technically okay. It's like another drug, right? Like caffeine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah.
And I was kind of like, why not? It's like a mocha, but more of the cocoa side.
Yes. And we're both wearing anatomy earrings. I saw someone in the chat say they love your earrings, and mine are buttholes.
Oh, yes.
So, obviously. Yes.
Great minds thinking alike, obviously. Yep. Well, who made your earrings?
These are by Animal Hair. So, you can find them on Etsy. Ooh. They make, so I bought clit earrings from them. I bought little golden dick studs from them. Like, they make all kinds of really cool, 3D engraved kind of stuff. Yeah. Awesome.
Oh my gosh. I think I actually have them on my favorite list now that I think about it.
Do you? Yeah, they're so good.
Yes.
Like for years, I think I've been buying from them and everything is still
right.
Great.
Yeah. Right. I have earrings. They're from actually a local shop in Boston, Winter Hill Jewelry. She does like 3D printed stuff. And like, I saw these at a women's market. I want to say the Boston Women's Market. And like, okay. I was like, I have to have these. Everything else she has are like, great. Yeah. But they're all like, these are literally like the uterus. And there was like beets and avocado earrings, which are also really cute that I have of hers. And like other like fruits and veggies and a uterus. And I'm like.
It's so perfect.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I was so glad that you invited me because I feel like the last time I saw you in person was many moons ago, like maybe 2018 or 17. I don't know. Ages ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say like probably at Woodhull or like one of the conferences?
No, I've been to none of the conferences. So
oh.
I think it was when we were in New York, right?
Wasn't oh my God. You're right.
That must have been the last time.
Oh my God.
Maybe the first and the last time. We only met once. Like, I feel like I know you way more than
have
once.
We only met once?
I think so.
That seems wrong.
It does.
That seems wrong. And I kind of want to have a fight with history, if that's the truth.
Yeah. We got to take history to task.
Well, you know, I have to say, like, I would actually love to come up and visit.
Yeah,
because like I've never been to Toronto.
Oh,
and okay. And I've only been to Montreal, and this was like in grad school when a bunch of the other classmates wanted to go and watch male strippers.
Oh, okay.
So it was like. Did I really see Montreal? No, I saw a bunch of dicks, but it was fine. You know.
Okay, we'll come to Toronto and then we'll do a proper road trip to Montreal. Like,
oh. I like it. All right. Well, again, before we get carried away. So let's talk a little bit more about you because it was really easy coming up with my list of questions for you. It probably took me like a cool 10 minutes just to make sure I had like some of the wording because I was just like, these are things that I've had in my mind for a while, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Okay. So how did you get into sex ed? Right. And like, did you find that you found your niche
or was it more of a like journey, right? Because over 15 years, that's a long time.
Yeah, it's definitely changed in my relationship to working with like this particular kind of content around like people's sex lives and like what they're doing. I think I entered the field right after university, and I started working in Eastern and Southern Africa, doing like frontline HIV and HIV prevention management and other STI work. So it was very much from a health promotion kind of perspective. So like, here are the facts, here's what to do. But there's like this huge sliver in the middle of like the skills that we all need that we didn't get. So if I want to talk about condoms, I have to talk about how to negotiate condom usage, or how to even think about like what you like or what you want to do, or how do we change our sexual scripts. And so I worked for many years on the front line, and then within the bureaucracy of like public health, still within sexual health. And I worked private sector with health promotion as well. And I think so much of this really gave me good skills in social marketing and really understanding how to listen to what people care about. Like, you know, it's not this mouthpiece of like, everyone knows what a condom, you know, there really is like this gap in pleasure-based education. And so thank goodness for, you know, the sex positive sex shops, the feminist sex shops, the brick and mortars that have been doing this education for ages. And so I plugged into there, and we've got one of the best in Toronto at Good For Her. And I started teaching there. My first class was how to have a threesome. And I just had so many terrible threesomes. I was like, there's no information on this, and I'm already a facilitator. So let me try and teach a class. And so that's still one of my most popular classes, but that's how I got started. And then it just grew from there.
That's amazing. And I do feel like that there's this truth about like the thing that we, this is actually interestingly something that I feel like has entered my brain in more recent months, but like the thing that we most needed is the thing that we're like going, that people also really need. And so like once we start actually talking about it, people are like, oh, you know, like I also need this information. And it's like, yes, hello.
Yes, you're so right. Because I was so surprised, like that class sold out, and it was only, I think at that time I was able to host like maybe 16 or 17 people or something, but it sold out. And the other week I was teaching at Shebop online, and it was Eat Pussy Like a Champ. That class sold 120 people wanted to learn about cunnilingus. And so I was like, people want these, these skills, and they want them in an affirming way, in a no bullshit way, and in a really accepting way. So yeah, I can talk about, you know, communicate, use your words, all these kinds of things, but that's not easy for everyone. And so if you can't do that, what are your options? What are your options if you hate your body, but you still want to have sex?
I love that. I love that. And that's so true too, because I feel like there's this narrative a lot of the time of like, not necessarily from other sex educators, but there is this like underlying narrative of like, oh, but you like really have to be into your body and then you can go. And it's like, do you? It's like step one, step two, like you can't pass go unless. I'm like, I don't know.
And you're so right. I think it's also not static. I mean, I hated myself on Thursday, and now I'm okay. Now I'm like, all right, I'm not that bad. You know, so I think about, I teach a lot about how to come into relationship with yourself to find that tenderness, to be accepting and empathetic and roll with it, that you are essentially safe. You're okay. There's a feeling of like, I belong in my sexual experiences, and today I'm not feeling myself. Tomorrow, maybe I will.
Right. I love that. Now, is a threesomes class the topic that you love to teach the most, or is there like another topic that you're like, this is my favorite?
Oh my God. Okay. So I love all of my classes because there's like 30 of them, but I do play favorites, and the threesome class was my favorite for a while, and actually pre-pandemic, but I mean, during the pandemic, it wasn't really a useful skill for most people. I actually really like teaching feminine dominance. I think that kink spaces are so heavily affirming of like male dominance or very harsh or rough forms of dominance. And I like putting it in a perspective of, hey, like actually that was very intimidating to me when I wanted to learn about power exchange. So here's another way for you to take up space. Here's another way for you to like actually own your erotic power. So that's kind of my favorite one. Yeah.
I love that so much. Yes. And honestly, you're going to laugh at me a little bit. But once in a while, maybe like every couple of months, I stalk my favorite sex educators. You are on this list. And I'm like, I wonder what workshops they're offering right now. Because also, I want to learn from people too. And so, but you've literally been on my list for a while. And I'm like finally getting to a point where I'm just, okay, I think I have time to actually take classes with the people that I love and care about. You know, so it's I'm so like, believe me, you're on my list. And that it's class so in particular has been on my list for a while because I'm like, I don't know where I fit in that realm yet. Like, but I love the idea of it. And I feel like even if I'm at the end of the day, like I like being dominated, I feel like there's still really tangible information that I'm sure that I'd be able to learn.
100%. My fantasies when I self-pleasure, they're not about domination. I don't have that kind of natural connection to it. It was something that I developed and then was like, hey ho, this is fun. Like this is like what? And it was such a self-development thing because as a dominant, you got to learn to like practice communication, like really active communication, substitute too. But there's a different when you're in a production role of a scene.
Yeah.
So it really built my confidence in my submissive side as well.
I actually love that you just said the production role. A lot of times I hear about sex and I'll also talk about sex sometimes as play, right? But there's also a play, like an actual production, and there's work that's involved sometimes.
Yeah.
And people just, so many people just think that it just comes naturally and you're just, okay, we're going to lie down in bed. And then, you know, and it's like,
oh. No. Yeah. I feel like there's so much around scene setting about what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, you know, and what are you going to do when you lose confidence? Because that might happen. Mm. You might not get any feedback from your submissive. And I think it actually, it's important for even subs to kind of recognize that there's a whole thing going on in here that you can also co-create with your dominant. Like, I think expecting the dominant to show up with like a bag of takeout of all your favorite things, like it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of guessing.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like, you know, well, what are you in the mood for tonight? Maybe you really liked tacos on Tuesday, but you know, now it's Thursday and you want something else. I have to ask you and then kind of come up with it. Yeah.
I love that. Now, do you find that there's still info that you're learning all the time about the same topics that you've taught?
Totally. Because I'm like you. I sign up for other people's classes on the same topic to make sure that I'm learning about other ways to teach things, stuff that I missed, and also to get into to still have a relationship to my own erotic power exchange and how that evolves. And people are like, our field is so rich with knowledge. There's always new books coming out. I like books a lot better than I like blogs for learning about power exchange, only because I find most blogs are often written from a very anecdotal perspective. Whereas like people writing books are often in from an educational perspective. So here's what I do, but here's how you could do it. So that you don't have to feel like you're following somebody else's recipe for dominance.
Right. I love that. right. What is, so the female dominance workshop, what is something about that particular topic that you find that people in the audience are suddenly like, oh shit, totally surprised and always like maybe catches them off guard?
Yeah, I think I get a lot of people coming into my classes who are actually reluctantly dominant. Like it's their partner's fantasy, or they've been curious about it, but they've never really been driven by it. And so for these people, I think that they're actually surprised that you don't have to imitate dominance and you don't have to do things that you think are domineering, right? That dominance can be sensual. I'm a very sensual dog. I'm a sensual sadist. You know, I want to hurt you so that I can kiss it better, right? I get all power of like pain and, you know, soothing. And I think that there's a misunderstanding about like the scope of the types of vibes that you could bring in. You can be playful. You can be cruel. You can be silly. You can be nurturing. You can be, you know, all these different kinds of things. And how to discover that, I take people through that kind of process to feel like what fits for you. So it's not like you're trying on somebody else's shoes that are the wrong size. We get to discover like what actually works for you.
Right. Oh God, that makes so much sense. And especially I think about the fact that often dom and sub relationships, how they're portrayed lately in the media, it's certainly just one picture. And I'm thinking about, oh my God, why can't I think about the, there's a Netflix show that I was like, why has it taken me so long to watch this?
And oh, I blew through the two seasons. Where she's like captive for a year or something to be his sub? Is that
no.
One?
Oh dear God. Or, oh. No.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Not that one. I mean, that one was awful. I did a whole like Facebook Live, or not Facebook Live, I did a whole like Facebook thread of me reacting to different parts, and people were like, oh my God, like you're just watching this for the first time. No, it was, I want to say it was Bonding. It was about like woman, she was like a college student, I think.
I watched that one. Yeah.
That one. And I'm also thinking about the oh my God, why are all of the names of shows suddenly leaving my head? Pose.
I didn't watch Pose. I don't.
Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. So there's, oh, I don't want to spoil it, but there's a great, it's a fantastic show with trans actors, and I want to say it's taking place in like the 90s, but there's a whole season of an interesting sort of the New York clubs, and one of them is like becomes dominatrix, all this stuff. It still feels very one-dimensional in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know,
I think
if
it's hard to capture a lot of things. Like I think we tend to see also depictions of, you know, thin white cis people who are like doing things. And so, you know, like I thought dominance wasn't for me because I'm scared that if I put on latex, I won't get out of it. You know, like how am I, what's going to happen here? And like, and that I don't have to do that, that I don't have to stand in 6-inch stilettos, that I don't have to wear a corset, but that if I wanted to, it would be about me and not about me imitating what I think dominance looks like.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Is there a type of audience? So they're the people most of the time who come in who are like a little more uncertain about it. Would you say that they're like your favorite type of audience member, or like what is your favorite type of audience member for this one, and really for like all of your workshops?
My favorite is curious. Anybody who's like, shit, if there's another way to get turned on, like I need to know about it, or my partner wanted me to try this thing and I don't know about it. I think it's so courageous to be curious and to kind of push beyond what we've been told about sex, what we've seen depictions of sex, like any sexual shame that you have in your family, that you're actually going to invest in your pleasure skills, because sex is a skill. I'm sure you know, as an educator, lots of people kind of think it's like, oh, you just have to do it, you just do it, you just know how. That's not really true. Like, what, there's so few things that you would approach that way. Why would we treat sex that way? And so I really love people that are hungry to get into their imagination. I think my classes are really creatively sparking, and I think people just enjoy like kind of not taking sex so seriously. And when you get into the play, that's where you get into the creativity. That's where you like let go of self-judgment and you're just having fun and you're like, yeah, I like that, but I like it with this way.
Oh, yes. Yes. More of that, more of the fun, the pleasure. And it can be serious, but it can also be fun.
Yeah.
Because why the hell not?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so true. I mean, even as a sex educator, I've talked about this on other episodes, but there was so much I didn't know about my body when I became pregnant postpartum, because I focused so much on the pleasure part and getting to sex, but not so much the motherhood part, the parenthood part of it. And there's so much more for me to learn, I'm sure, you know, like as I get older, as I, you know, all of that good stuff. Why should we limit ourselves to already knowing everything?
Yeah. Right?
Like, oh my God, how boring that would be.
So boring.
Right? I'm going to shift gears a little bit, and I kind of want to head back to talk about this lovely logo that you created. Okay. Peg the Patriarchy. I remember the first time, actually, I want to say the first time I saw your merch, the first thing that I saw was Fuck Like a Goddess, the underwear.
Yes.
And I don't really remember where I saw it. Like, I wish I remembered exactly where, but the first time I saw that, I was like, and then I saw the Peg the Patriarchy stuff. Y'all, if you haven't gone onto Luna Matanis's website and looked at her shop, like, you must. Tell us about Peg the Patriarchy. Gosh.
So this Peg the Patriarchy was kind of born around the same time where I had started teaching more classes, and mostly still in Toronto, mostly for Good for Her. And, you know, Good for Her and all of these like sex shops that I normally teach in are feminist. And so they consider mm-hmm. equity and pleasure very much interconnected. And I was like, so one day I came up with this, and I thought, first of all, I'm like, I have to write it down because I was probably high. And I was like, thank God I write shit down.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to do something that was cheeky, that was sassy, and that really talked about this message of subversion. And so, you know, subversion is all about kind of flipping the script. And so many of our sexual narratives, they don't serve us anymore. You know, even how we think about foreplay on the way to penetration, or we think about, you know, after the penis ejaculates, that's the end of sex. And so there's a lot of things that we could be subversive about. And a lot of these are rooted in the systemic understandings of things like gender, of things like femininity and masculinity, of things like misogyny, of like all these different kinds of things have shaped this. So Peg the Patriarchy became this kind of, you know, mantra for me. And I was like, or like an affirmation where I thought, This is very cool. I'm going to put this on a shirt. I'm going to wear it to Pride. And so that's all I intended to do. I got stopped. Like, Toronto Pride brings like a million people to the city. And I just kept getting stopped and stopped. People wanted to take pictures with it. And I was like, is this a thing? And people started DMing me to buy it. And I thought, I don't know anything about making shirts. And so little me in 2015 was like, hustling to Chinatown, choosing different, you know, kind of blank shirts of random sizes and colors, and then going to a print shop, overpaying for print shops with like dude bro printers who didn't treat me like a person. Oh. And then, you know, and then it evolved into something a lot bigger. And it really was really cool just to see how many people I connected to based on this phrase. Like, it really hit a note for a lot of people. So it brought all these amazing other, you know, like-minded, cool people into my world, you know, including you. I'm pretty sure you have like one of the originals from like me walking to Chinatown. Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you have an original.
I'm sitting here very proud right now.
Right?
That's exciting. Really? Now I feel like you have to sign it the next time I see you. Like, I need your signature autograph on it now.
Well, I was thinking that about yours. I was like, you know, someday Gucci's gonna steal your shit, and then I'm gonna be like, I have one of the originals, like,
right? Right. Oh, so let me explain what's on your shirt, because I know Instagram, like, I realize I'm looking at myself and I'm like, I'm totally backwards. God damn it.
I know.
So my shirt says Peg the Patriarchy, obviously, with the most adorable little star over the eye. And Luna is wearing one of my designs that says, let them drown.
Sirens and squirters. Yes.
Yeah, sirens and squirters. That's right. Let them drown. If they die, they die.
Yeah, I'm not responsible for you.
Look, this is the best way to go. Let's be real. Oh my gosh. Well, so let's talk about that. Let's dive into that a little bit, because one day I'm scrolling on Instagram. Lo and behold, I keep forgetting how to say her name. I don't even want to say her name. Some actress.
Yeah.
Wearing your design on like a corset looking, bustier looking type thing.
Yeah.
And I lost my shit because I was like, oh my God, like, I literally lost my shit thinking like, holy fuck, like, this is exciting as all hell. and then come to learn that was not the case. And it was, lo and behold, the same shit we see all the time, which is white women appropriating women of color's shit.
Yep.
And like, and not just women of color, but like, oh, or not just a white woman appropriating women of color's stuff, but like a white woman that's working with a sex toy brand. Yeah. And it was one of those, like, my brain could not comprehend what was happening. Also because I didn't actually know she was working with that brand. And so, like, I learned a lot that day.
yeah.
So that's how I learned about it. How did you learn about the situation?
So I'm going to show people. So this is my little office here, right? Like, this is, it's so messy, and like, it's literally, I don't know, like it's super tiny. It's a solarium. And I was like, you know, I'm sitting here and I was teaching for a BDSM class for a dungeon online, and I get offline and usually I go on Twitter and I just tell people what a great class it was. I get on Twitter and I have like a million mentions, and I was like, shit, something happened. Something bad happened.
Oh,
and,
boy.
And then I had the same reaction that you did. I was like, oh my God, the world is talking about Peg the patriarchy. And then that only lasted like a few seconds when I realized what happened. I don't even know anything about the Met Gala. Like, I'm not in that world, and or like in that kind of news. So I didn't even really understand the scale at first. And then I quickly like commented on a couple of things. I think it was in the cut first is when I saw it. But then I realized this is out of control. This is like, I'm just one person. So I don't have a PR team like the actress we're not going to mention, or even Laura DiCarlo. I mean, is very rich, very wealthy, like they are big players in, and I'm just like this little like crafter. So I started to see a lot of like debate around it, and you know, it's you know now, because like you've created merch, and but you've created lots of things before, and so it's so violating to kind of see something go out of your hands, and like there's really nothing I could do about it. So I thought, let me go to my people, and I went to my Instagram, and I was like, you know, this is not the first time that rich white women have stolen things from BIPOC people and claimed it as their own. But, you know, there is,
it's like it's like a pastime for them. It's like one of their fave hobbies.
Right? It's like, yeah, what should we do today? Which BIPOC person, Duck Duck Goose, should we like do today? You know? And I think it's just also insulting, like, that they didn't even try. You know, it's the exact same font without the star. It's like, it would have taken nothing for either of them to say, hey, Luna created this. They still get all their credit. I wouldn't have made any money off of it still. They're not paying me for anything. So it just all felt like really dirty. And I forget, because I'm in this like lovely bubble of like, people with like you who are affirming, and we respect each other, and we're trying to do things in equitable ways. And you know, people have tried to steal it before, but it's usually small crafters who are inspired. Mm. And I write them and I tell them, hey, this is mine. I've only had a few people challenged me on it, and lo and behold, you can guess what kind of printer paper colored they are. And it's always very, the audacity of like, it's just, it's very strong. And so afterwards, I felt like, you know, this initial kind of like wave of like, what am I gonna do? Like, this, what should I do? I don't have a lawyer, I don't have a legal team. And then I actually leaned into and embraced all of the support. Like, you were so awesome. There were so many educators that like took to the platform to talk about things like pegging or patriarchy, and so many people came to me that I would never have had access to, because you know how censored we are on social media. So I would never be able to do an ad campaign to double my followings or like things like that. And so I feel like now I've got a community of people that are like, we are all on the same page, you know, we are all on the same page. And I think for anyone that struggled with it or that don't like it, I feel like if we're all anti-patriarchy, cool. There are many ways to dismantle this system. And I think it's very dangerous to kind of have just like this very sort of, you know, kind of like flip the coin from one form of control to another form of control. Like, it feels like the word that I'm looking for. It feels like what the church does, you know, like this kind of like campaigning for like there's one way to feel about things. And it was very intense. I got very burnt out because I was working easily like 16 hours a day for maybe at least the first month. And
because it was just me updating my website, me, you know, fulfilling orders, me doing whatever. And I think that's what people forget too, is like, I'm not Amazon. Like, we're right. just here, like,
right.
making money off our art. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you able to take some time to like recuperate? Cause I know, I mean, I don't know because I've never gone viral like that, but like, I can imagine how taxing that was. And like, a lot of people who aren't necessarily in tune with the idea of like, hey, like checking in and being like, is this okay kind of thing, overstep a little bit accidentally, how taxing that was. Were you able to like rest and?
No, it wasn't good. It wasn't, I look back and I was like, I had to behave like I didn't have a body just to like move through it. And I also just didn't know what to do. Like the scale of it was just like, I couldn't sit back and think about, okay, let's do this or set up this. And like, I have an amazing web designer who's my friend. And so he was helping me. Like my friend showed up to help me. And I was like,
yeah,
this is why we need to cultivate like peace in our lives and our inner circle, because it doesn't matter how many followers you have. It doesn't matter. Like there's, you know, and I was lucky. I think the people that were really into it were very militant about tagging. And like, you know, I still see the tags. I still see all the things. And I think the only thing I was really disappointed with, and I deleted Twitter for a little bit because Twitter is mean. Twitter was like going in for me on like personal things. So people were commenting on my weight. They were commenting on, you know, they would go in and kind of just like roast my website, or they were talking about, why didn't I trademark in the US? It's only a Canadian trademark. And, you know, all these things, if you don't know, you don't know. Like, trademarking is much more complicated than that. So you didn't talk to a lawyer and trademark your own shit, then shut up, you know?
right. They make it act like they just went on Amazon and got a trademark certificate. Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't done any of that.
Yeah. And I ended up having to, like, it cost me money. So, because I had to hire someone to go after all the copycats, because I didn't have time, like, to file all the reports. You have to file for each platform. So, it was expensive in some ways, and in other ways it helped me expand. I feel it was good to rest. In December I took some time and I rested, and I kind of like was enjoying like all these new people that are here, and also looking at like what to do with the merch. So do I continue kind of like expanding it, you know? There's legal stuff around it now too, so yeah, it's a lot. I mean, in addition to like still teaching and still running the podcast and like feeding my kitten, you know, he was so mad at me.
Right.
I didn't have enough time to watch goldfish on YouTube with him. Like, yeah.
That's real. And I feel like you cannot reiterate this enough, that like, I'm a little biased, but like, especially sex educators, we're usually we're solopreneurs. Shit is not easy. I've seen some things that I'm just, you know, there are people you could pay for this information and like get real and like good information, but you're seeking it on like Reddit or Facebook. We're here. Why can't people feel like they can come to the people who are actually studying this specifically about sex?
Yeah, you know? I've always really liked that about your work and your business. Like, I think there's something that you model around, like, this is a business. And you can do a business and you can want to do well in life without being a capitalist. Like, I can want to not live with six people and not be a capitalist. So I think there's something about sex education that people expect us to be free laborers. But how am I going to do that? Like, how am I going to pay for this stuff?
We still have to survive.
I was working for 3 years full time and doing this on the side, and I was commuting 2 hours a day. So this is not, you know, easy to even slip into a mindset where we start thinking about how do I make this business sustainable?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me tell you, only in the past 6 months, really, have I been able to say to myself, you don't need to do the thing that has been draining your energy just to maintain your life.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe if you just refocus. But I mean, there's still days when I'm just, oh my God, like the bills. And then I'm like, okay, but I don't feel I've come home and my body feels exhausted or there's this huge weight on me. And that, I think, is invaluable.
That's a win. That's a win. Good for you.
Let's take a quick break. Check in with your body. What do you need? Do you need to stretch? Do you need to use the restroom? Do you need some extra water? Do whatever you need to take care of you, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Erica of YourOrganizedPhotos.com. Do you have photos spread across multiple devices or printed albums that you wish could be online to share with your family? Do you have a hard time finding a photo when you want to? And do you want to make sure those digital photos are safely backed up just in case your device gets lost or crashes? We are living in a time when people can take more photos than ever in human history. Yet these memories can be hard to enjoy if they aren't easy to find and share. And if we don't create a good system to back them all up, our treasured photos are at risk of disappearing into the digital void. But here's where I can help. I love helping folks organize and protect their important images. If you go to yourorganizedphotos.com, you can learn about a number of services, in person and remote, how I can help. yourorganizedphotos.com.
Yeah. Hey, and you know, still work in progress. There's days. You know, you have really embodied confidence and self-love, and you're like, you're definitely one of the people that I look to like remind myself too, like, hells yeah, you know, this can exist, and that we're allowed to love ourselves, and that we're allowed to embody whatever the fuck we want to embody, as long as it's not harming anyone else. But I know, and then we kind of, you touched on this a little bit too, that it feels like it's a journey. So would you say that it was easy? Is it possible for it to be easy? You know what I mean? Like, or like, really, what was that journey like for you?
You know what? I think it's such a good question, because I think there are parts of it that are easy. There are parts of it that will feel easier than other parts. And there are parts of it that are so fun. And the joy and the space that you get to reclaim that shame is currently, you know, like landlocked into, that we get to actually now have more space. And so that airiness, that sense of security or safety or like believing in yourself, those are all that feel out of touch or out of reach for a lot of people. But so mine started, I think I've always struggled, especially with weight, feeling like I'm fat. And so therefore I can't ever be attractive, that all of my confidence is in the body version of me that doesn't have a belly, that doesn't age, that probably has lighter skin, different features, like all kinds of things, right? Whatever we all hate about ourselves. And I was married monogamously for 10 years. And then after I got divorced, and like, I don't know, if you all are watching this and you're like me and you lose yourself in a relationship, you will understand. And so I lost myself. And the part of building back that relationship was I was like, I am determined to fall in love with myself. I was just so determined. I was like, I took burlesque classes. I just did anything. I was like, you know what? I don't actually know what confidence looks like. So I'm going to go where other people look like they're confident and see what I can learn from them. And so I really didn't have a map. I didn't have a plan or anything. I just knew that I wanted to take up more space and less time dieting, less time, you know, trying to fit into Spanx or like things like that. And it's okay if you do those things, but for me, they were very much attached to me hiding and taming my body to make it more palatable for other people. And so even coming into kind of consciousness with that stuff was liberating for me. I was like, damn, I care about what some random dude on the street thinks about my saggy boobs. You know, like, why?
right.
Why? And so, you know, part of it was really getting into the dirt of the things that I don't even know, they're so unconscious. Like I wouldn't eat McDonald's in person ever, you know, that because I think that people think, well, that's what she eats all the time. And so therefore that's why she looks like that. And so there are things that are still hard, but I think the most important thing was that I recognized that yeah, the system can beat me up when I'm outside, you know, when I'm shopping for clothing, when I'm going to the doctor, but I don't have to go to bed with that punch. I don't have to take their role over when they're not there and like keep beating myself up. And so it starts very small. It's like finding these little crevices of like, cool, maybe I feel really good at the thing that I'm doing and I didn't even think about my body, you know, or maybe this friend makes me feel so comfortable that I wore shorts around them or whatever it is, right? So the taking up space part, I think, is also challenging because there are some like schools of thought that are also about like setting the bar a lot lower, like really going for, or just not even lower, like more lateral kind of like acceptance. So you can start there too. You can absolutely start there. But I think that if you want to go big, because this is a lifelong journey. Like you said, your body changes, postpartum, menopause, aging, disability. There are so many things, medications. There are so many things that are going to affect us. And so if you start working on this relationship to yourself now, you're going to have this beautiful, like, you know, thread or garden that you're nurturing as you come into these body changes later in life or tomorrow.
Oh, I love that. I love the imagery that you just conjured up with the thread and the garden, because that's like such a true thing. And speaking as someone who is not a seamstress or a gardener, but I understand the concepts of them.
You know. It's like I'm using things that are relevant for me as I'm surrounded by my orchids.
I know, I love it.
Girl, look.
Oh, I have an orchid. She's struggling because I'm struggling, but it's okay. Yeah, it's fine. My mom is a gardener. I'm asking her questions all the time.
They'll come back. They'll come back.
Yeah. Personally, for me, a lot of the body confidence stuff got really wrapped up in my culture. I'm Filipina, and like, there's so much of body shaming that I feel like people make jokes about, but it's so ingrained almost. And I'm seeing more and more now, especially with other like Filipinx folks, like online, they're really trying to like change the narrative around that. And I'm just like, I'm honestly really proud to be in this specific generation of people who are trying to go against that. But would you say that you had sort of a similar situation with your, or is there like a similar situation in your culture?
Yeah, so my parents are Guyanese, and there's definitely, like, it's not uncommon to comment on people's body. Everyone's obsessed with weight. My parents are constantly on diets. And I think I really felt bitter about that. I feel bitter that I didn't have a better start. But I also now feel more empathy. I think that colonization, for sure, like, affected their relationship to their body. Like, we are not a small people anyways, you know, and we're also all mixed. So it's like there's so many different kinds of influences on our bodies and the types of food that we have access to, plus this medical fat phobia, which has just distorted the entire conversation about like what's healthy and what's not. I think also that, you know, there's this ancestral type of passing down. And so my grandma, my mom's mom, is, you know, late 80s, and she's still worried about her weight. I've told them to not say anything about my body, whether it looks good or it doesn't. And that can be really hard to do in cultures where there's like an elder hierarchy, and it's, you know, everyone told me, don't say anything, you know, who cares, she's just old, you know, whatever. And I was like, then I don't want to come to dinner, because.
So I think it is challenging to confront those relationships and to have empathy for the fact that this is like ancestral, that it's passed down. Her mom talks about her body, she talks about my body. You know, someone's got to break the cycle. and it's not even so much about taking a stand. I don't want to educate her. Like, I just want to protect myself. I just want the little me that couldn't protect myself at 9, you know, when everyone's commenting about my belly and baby weight and whatever, that that I'm protecting her now. That I'm like, don't talk about my body that way.
Yes. Yes. I've tried doing the same with my parents, and it has been, I mean, it's still a struggle for sure. Yeah. And it's a lot of repeating, a lot of like having to be the person to to put up those boundaries and be really like firm on them, which is like hard because there's also the like, oh my God, you're being disrespectful bullshit. Let's talk about respect, right?
Absolutely. And it's very misogynistic. It's 100% misogynistic. Nobody comments on my brother's body, you know? Right. So this is not a thing. And even if they would, they wouldn't in a way that they're sort of dangling the rewards of like, you won't find love or happiness. They'd be like, oh, you get some muscle. You know, it wouldn't be the same kind of way. So it's right. Actually improved my relationship. It's hard to do, but you feel safer. You feel like They don't have to like what I want. My grandma doesn't like it. I know they're all thinking it, but at least they don't say it.
Yes. Agree. All right. We are coming to the end. I have two sort of like final questions. What is something about sex pleasure and or body confidence that you think people are like not ready to hear, but it's like 2022, you gotta catch up?
Oh my God. I don't know if I can say this.
This is the time.
Okay, so I think you need to raise the bar. I really think what we're accepting is bullshit. I think the bar is in hell. And I think that continuing to have the same kinds of expectations as you grow in your confidence, it just like anchors you in old you. And so as I think a lot of people think that when you raise your standards, you're not going to find as many partners. It's true.
Yeah.
You won't, because most people are not doing this work. Most people are not investing in caring about their partner's pleasure. And, I'm kicked off of, I'm double banned from Tinder. I'm once banned from OkCupid. I've been kicked off Bumble. And it's all because, and actually, this is very gender specific for me, but for a lot of people, We might have different experiences, but I'm pansexual. And so my settings are set to everybody. I only get into arguments with cishet men. and it's because, you know, we also have like the influence of patriarchy adorning masculinity with like this halo of that, well, whatever you want is normal and whatever I want is too much and I'm being needy and it's just casual and blah, blah, blah. And so actually taking a stand and being like, okay, cool, like that's what you want, but like I want something different. You know, and really knowing that you gotta come into these situations feeling yourself. You gotta come in feeling yourself and then be like, won't you join me? Because when you are hitching your wagon for confidence to somebody else's validation, you can't win. You can appreciate it. You can want your partner to tell you that you look cute. It cannot be the core of your cup. Your cup has to be full. You give them the overflow.
Raise the bar.
Fuck like a goddess. Goddesses don't fuck with a low bar. No. Hells yeah. You gotta be like, you know, I'm a goddess. What kind of offering is this? You know, don't approach a goddess without an offering.
There you go. I love it. Oh my gosh. All right, my friend. Final question. What is something that you are finding pleasure in currently?
This is a good one. I'm actually finding pleasure in tending to my home. And I live alone, so it's very, well, with Bubba, but you know, it's very easy for me to neglect things that are part of my mental health and wellness in my home. Like I really pay attention now to, you know, what I have to make time in the day to also do that, to make sure that my nest feels like a happy place to be in. So my butt plug wine racks was one project. I need to put up some other towel racks in my bathroom. You know, little things like that where I'm like, why am I sitting on a couch that's 15 years old? Why do I not have a new couch? You know, like little kind of things that there's no other reason other than self-neglect.
That's so good, Luna. All right, actually, I do have one more question.
Yeah.
Tell everybody how they can find you.
Oh, yes, yes. So you can find me. I'm pretty active here on Instagram. You can also follow my backup because, you know, we're all like so at risk of getting shut down. So if you like cooking, you can follow the sensual foodie. That's me. All my food porn is up there. And then lunamatatas.com, my newsletter is probably the best place where they also get access to a free monthly Q&A with me. And I usually treat them really well with little discounts and stuff. And I have two big new announcements coming, one tomorrow and then one next week. So if you're into confidence or you're into kink, you're going to like either of them.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. How perfect. Luna. Such a good timing. I mean, like so much serendipity balled up in this wonderful, like, hour. Have we been on for almost an hour? For like an hour. I am just so always in awe, so honored to share the world with you, that and I'm so extremely thankful that you're my kickoff person for my season two. Like, I seriously, beyond anything, I'm just so glad to have you in my world.
Things are all so mutual. They're so mutual. And I'm so glad to be a part of what you're doing. So anytime you ever want to have me back, I would love to come chat with you again. And thank you for everything you put out into the world. Like, it's just so beautiful. I love that I get to see you grow and expand into like different things. The world gets more of you. And I'm like, yes.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a journey. And if people are along for the freaking ride.
Yes, yes. And whenever you're ready for more mermaid pasties, let me know. I will make you up some.
Okay. You will be hearing from me very soon. Because guess what? I turn 40 in April.
Oh, amazing. So definitely you need to do, you need to do something for that. Yeah, I've been saving a seat for you. I just turned 42 in January, so welcome. Welcome to the 40s club.
I'm excited. All right, my friend. Thank you so much. And I'll see you soon, hopefully.
Thank you so much for having me. See you soon. Yay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, friends, it's time to go our separate ways. I hope you're feeling as satiated and stimulated from today's podcast as I am. Make sure you rate and review today's episode on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Lastly, head over to rawbarpod.com. That's rawbarpod.com to find out how you can connect with my guests and me and how you can be a part of the Raw Bar Regulars. See you next time.